so just a few more months left visiting just a few more supporting churches and then beginning the wonderful task of packing everything up and preparing for another 4 years. So we certainly appreciate your prayers as we endeavor to do that. If you have your Bible tonight, I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would please, to 2 Kings chapter 18. And if you would, stand with me out of respect for God's Word. 2 Kings 18, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 in just a moment. 2 Kings 18, beginning in verse 1. I'd like you to follow along as we read verse 1 all the way down to verse number 7. The Word of God says this: Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he, speaking of Hezekiah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the braser serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered him whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our great God in heaven, as we come once again into your blessed word, I pray that we would hear from you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you help me to be your messenger. May the Spirit of God move and work and convict in the hearts and lives of your people once again and new and afresh. May we never be guilty of just going through the motions, but may we be hungry and thirsting for righteousness, that we may grow and have a greater desire to serve for you and live for you until Jesus comes. Bless now, we pray, during this most important time, for it's in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to preach a message to you in the next few moments entitled, A House Divided, A King Decided. You know, I'm sure many of us are familiar with this man by the name of Hezekiah. He's a well-known, very well-known king who is well-spoken of many, many, many thousands of years after he lived and reigned on this earth. You know, I'm thankful for men and women of the Bible, aren't you, that can be an example for us to follow. Men and women of the Scripture who were faced with every opportunity to do wrong and instead chose to stand for the truth and do what's right. And I believe that's the kind of Christians God needs in these last days in which we live, don't you? God needs a generation of people who will stand up for him and say, listen, I'm not concerned about what anybody else thinks or says. I have only one purpose, and that is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that I do and everything that I say. I know that your heart's desire as a church is to do just that. I know that it's your pastor's heart's desire, and I've seen that in his life for many, many years, all the way back to when we were in college together, and I'm thankful for his life and his leadership here. But you know, as my family and I have traveled all across America the last 6 months while we've been on furlough, I've seen many things that encourage me in the many churches that we've been in, but I've also seen some things that are very troubling to me. And the things that trouble me the most are the fact that there is a great deal of division where there should be complete unity. You see, Hezekiah, as you may well know, came from a divided home. His father, Ahaz, was a very wicked individual and led the kingdom of Judah almost as far away from their God and the worship of their God as he possibly could. And so Hezekiah grew up in this environment where he wasn't taught the pure doctrine of God's word and wasn't and courage to have a heart for God and follow God. And yet in the midst of all this division, in the midst of all this ugly wickedness and sin, God raised up a king who for 29 years brought the people out of wickedness into righteousness, and they were faithful to their God because of one man's leadership. You know, in America today, we ought to be concerned about the fact that America is now a mission field. Amen? I just spent a week in Florida. My family and I had a little downtime a week ago, and we spent a week with just our family and some family members I have there in Florida, and I thought I was in a foreign country. I really did. I looked around, and everybody was speaking a different language, and I didn't understand a word of it. And it was just a real reality check for me that even though I don't live in this country, that America is now a mission field. And it's one thing to be concerned about the fact that America is now a mission field. It's one thing to be concerned about the fact that the world is dying and going to hell in a hurry. But the question I present to you tonight is, are we willing to move past the concern stage to the action stage and actually do something about it? You see, Hezekiah, I'm sure he was burdened for a long time for the direction his father had taken the kingdom and the kingdom of Judah and the people that lived in it and were under his rule. I have no doubt in my mind that God influenced Hezekiah. Maybe it was his mother that influenced him. There's reference here to King David, who no doubt was a godly influence for Hezekiah when his father was not. But somewhere along the way, God put something in the heart of a young 25-year-old man. And when God finally gave him his opportunity, he didn't just say, I'm concerned about doing something, but he rolled up his sleeves and he got busy doing it. May God help us to be that kind of servants for him, a generation of Christians that don't just sit around and talk about what needs to be done, but roll up our sleeves and daily cry out to God, God, here am I, use me. God, here am I, send me. God, here am I, I've made myself available to you, and I'm willing to go and do and be whatever you want me to be, because I'm here for your purpose and your purpose alone. I think Hezekiah understood that, don't you? I think he understood that God has me here for a specific purpose. God has me here for a specific reason, and I can influence many through my faithfulness to God and my commitment to God. And what's amazing to me is that God raised him up to be this man that he was, to be the king that he was in the midst of a divided house. You know, as I think about America, that there are many churches where, sadly, I'm talking about independent Baptist churches like this, where sadly, there's division in the church. And I'm not talking about churches that are on the verge of a church split. I'm talking about the fact that when you compare our churches today to the New Testament church, the churches then were unified. I mean, they were together in everything. When there was work to be done, everybody was involved. And we live in a society, in a world today where this casual Christianity has sort of crept into our churches a little bit, hasn't it? And people would rather stand back and be a spectator and let others do the work when everybody gets involved, so much more can be done for the cause of Christ. Somebody say amen. If everybody would just roll up their sleeves and say, Lord, whatever talents and abilities I have, they're yours. I use them for your honor and glory. I'd make myself available to you. And sadly, my experience has been in the 30 or so churches that we've been in already, that you have a handful of people who are, I mean, they're giving everything they have in serving the Lord in their local churches, and they're burning themselves out because they don't have the help of everybody within the local church to get the job done. I think we need revival, don't we? Because revival is the only thing that's going to bring us all together and bring us to the place where we're unified in the common goal of doing the work of God until God says it's time to come home. How about divided families today? I just heard the other day a very sad story about a couple, husband and wife, who just left a good Bible-believing preaching church like this and went to a church that doesn't have the kind of standards and doesn't preach the same out of the same Bible and the same doctrines as we have. And it was because one member of that marriage decided they wanted to go in a looser direction. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many people within our Independent Baptist churches today, couples or families are divided. Maybe outwardly everything appears to be normal. Maybe you have even one spouse who wants their family to get more involved in the church and more involved in the work of the Lord. Another spouse that says, let's sit back and do as little as we can. Let somebody else do it. Let's focus on our needs as a family and what our goals are as a family. Hey, listen, I'm thankful I put my personal goals and my personal needs aside a long time ago. And I said, Lord, I'm here to do whatever you want me to do and nothing else. And that's biblical Christianity, by the way. That's biblical Christianity. That's what the Bible clearly teaches and preaches, that biblical Christianity is all about full surrender to the Lord and not partial surrender. Let me ask you this question quickly. How about the division in our own hearts? I know you know this, but let me remind you again. Every single day, our loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ is being tested. Every single day, we are being bombarded by all the influences of the world. And all those influences are trying to do is to push us further away from our commitment to Jesus Christ. No wonder our churches are suffering. No wonder America every day is moving farther away from the truth instead of closer to it. No wonder the world is moving farther away from the truth instead of closer to it, because Christians all over the world are allowing the world and the flesh and the devil to win and move them farther away from their loyalty to Jesus Christ. God help us. Amen. God help us. You know, sometimes I hear Christians talk, and I'm sure your pastor's heard this before. Christians say, well, you know, it's never been, in the history of mankind, it's never been as difficult as this present hour to live for God and stand up for the truth. But I beg to differ. Amen? I mean, look at the situation Hezekiah walked into. Do you think he was welcomed with open arms the first day he was coronated as king, and he makes this broad declaration? All right, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to destroy all the idols, all the sinful wickedness that my father brought into this kingdom is gone from this day forward. I don't think that was a popular decision, do you? He wasn't trying to win a popularity contest. He was just trying to please the Lord. And may God help us to have that spirit and that determination in our own heart that we're not concerned at all what people think or say, because what matters most is pleasing and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. He was a reformer. Some refer to him as a second David. He was a man of integrity. He was a man who had a heart for God. May God help us to be Christians that are fully sold out to the Lord. You see, the Lord doesn't just want full control of your finances. He doesn't just want full control of individual areas of your life or the life of your family. He wants full control of everything. And he deserves it. He deserves it. You know, I realize, and you realize, that we live in a world where that philosophy and that way of thinking is so strange and odd, isn't it? People hear us preaching and teaching this way, and they say, well, you folks are fanatical. You must be some sort of a cult, talking about this idea of full surrender and yielding yourself completely to a higher power and to a higher purpose. Those of us that live for Jesus Christ, we know there's nothing greater in the whole world than giving all of your life to Jesus Christ. Amen? There's nothing greater. There's nothing greater. I have no desire to go back to what I was saved out of. I have only desire to move forward in everything that God has for me. And that ought to be the desire of every Christian. That ought to be the desire of every church, every Christian home ought to have the desire, listen, the past is behind us, so we're going to move forward and we're going to take this business of living for Jesus Christ seriously. That's exactly what Hezekiah did, and look how God used him. Look how God blessed him. You know, I think there was probably some times when, many times when Hezekiah got down on his knees in private alone with God and said, oh dear God, please don't let me follow in the footsteps of my father. That would have been the easy choice. That would have been the easy decision to go ahead and follow his father's footsteps and head down that path and head down that direction. And he said, I'm not going there by the grace of God. May God help us tonight to have the same spirit and say, listen, there's a lot of temptation to take the easy street even in my Christian life. But by the grace of God, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I'm going to stand for the truth. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to be faithful to my God. I'm going to be an obedient Christian. Let me give you the first of three simple thoughts here tonight about a king who came from a divided home, but he decided to do what's right. First of all, he remembered to do just that. He remembered to obey. Would you look with me quickly, if you would, please, in verse number three. The Bible says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. You know, we may get the idea sometimes that, man, the formula for the successful Christian life or being a faithful servant for God is a complicated formula, but I beg to differ. The Bible says it first of all requires a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowing that you've been saved and you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And secondly, it requires surrender and a desire to obey God in every area that he's commanded obedience. It's that simple. Those of us that are parents, I have six children. I have five daughters, and God graciously gave me a son. Amen? Just to sort of balance things out a little bit. Amen? And my son, man, he's awesome. You know, we can rough and tough together. And when I try to wrestle with my girls, you know, they're, Daddy, you hurt me. I said, come on, toughen up a little bit, you know. I'm thankful that God gave me a son. I'm thankful for my daughters. They're a wonderful blessing and asset to our ministry. I could spend a whole hour talking about them. But you know, as a parent, as a father, the only thing I can demand of my children, if I really love them and I really want them to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I need to demand complete obedience from them. Am I right? And as a parent, I deserve that. I provide for them. I give them food and clothing and shelter. I give them what they need as far as their emotional needs. My wife and I love them. We care for them. We're there for them when they're sick and in need. And in return, all I want them to do is just obey and do what's right. I don't think that's asking too much to you. Every parent out here tonight, those of you that have already raised your children, and those of you that are in the process, you're doing the same things with your children, aren't you? And yet the Lord says to us, that's exactly what I expect from you, complete obedience. And I don't think that's asking too much to you. I don't think it's that complicated, do you? I don't think that we can huff and puff and sigh and become disgruntled over the fact that the Lord says, I want you to obey me in every area of your Christian life and be obedient to every command that I've given you as a child of God in the Scriptures. Hezekiah said, listen. He understood this, and he said to his people in verse 3, he said, listen, not only am I going to be a completely obedient king from this day forward, but in order to get the house of God in order and this kingdom back in order, we're going to get back to obeying every command that God's given us. As Pastor Sexton said many times, revival is just a new beginning of obedience to God. I'm sure your pastor has shared that with you. That's all revival is, just a new, Lord, I can't do anything about the past. I've confessed it. It's under the blood. But from this day forward, it's going to all be complete obedience in every area of our Christian lives. You know, my family and I just made some decisions as a family that we're going to change some things in this new year. get some things out of our family that maybe not necessarily sinful or bad, but they're a weight that's weighing us down as a family and keeping us from doing more for God. Why? Because the goal is this. We want to be more obedient to God. We want to do more for God. We want to make ourselves more available to God. And I believe that ought to be the heart's desire of every Christian, don't you? He remembered obedience. Secondly and quickly tonight, I want you to see in verse number 4, he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the bracer. You remember the bracer serpent? You remember the serpent that was put on a pole? When the nation of Israel were bitten by those serpents, they were told if they looked at that image, that serpent, they would what? They would live. Here, the nation of Israel, and particularly the kingdom of Judah, they're still worshiping this serpent image 400 years after this initial event took place. And Hezekiah said that wasn't the intention of it all. In fact, it wasn't the serpent that saved. It was looking to God that saved. And that's what it was. It was a reference to God and his omnipotence. Hezekiah says, you know what we're going to do? First thing we're going to do, we're going to tear down all those brazier serpents because they're Nehushtan. He said they're nothing but metal. That's all it is. It's just a piece of metal. It's non-living. It has no inherent power within it whatsoever. And it can do nothing to assist any of us and improve the quality of our lives. So it's gone. He said, all the idols, all the wickedness, it's gone. You know, I'm constantly reminded about all the things, as I mentioned to you before, and I'm sure your pastor challenges you with this thought often, all the sin and the weight which does so easily beset us. We may have things in our life right now that we may say, well, it's not exactly sinful according to the scriptures, but if it's weighing you down, even a small percentage, and keeping you from being fully committed and fully yielded to Jesus Christ, then it needs to be done away with. There's no better time to do that than at the start of a new year. Amen? There's no better time than to remove all these things out of our Christian life and out of our heart. We don't need a crowded heart. What we need is a surrendered heart. Amen? And a heart that's crowded with so many things, so many obstacles, is not a heart that's in a position to be more surrendered and more yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that's surprised us the most, people have asked us the question, what's the things that shocked you the most since you were here in the U.S. 4 years ago? It's how much smartphones are dominating people's lives. We went to an amusement park in Florida last week, and I can't tell you how many people I had to dodge as we're walking down the sidewalk. And the reason I'm dodging them is because they're on their phones and they have no idea where they're going. You know what I'm talking about? That's surprising. Maybe that's normal for everybody who lives here. But in Fiji, a lot of people don't have smartphones. They have the old flip phones, you know. Maybe some of you have them. If you do, that's great. And they're not on there texting or social media, whatever. That's the thing that surprised me the most. I thought, wow, people are so consumed. And it's like if they lose their smartphone, their whole world comes crashing down. What direction is our society going in? Listen, I realize that technology can be so beneficial in enhancing our life and even our ability to serve God, but it can also be a huge distraction. It can also keep us from spending quality time in God's Word because we're so distracted by these other things. May God help us to remove these obstacles. Let me give you one third and final point and we'll be done tonight. I want you to see, thirdly and lastly, he remained on track. You say, Brother Deku, how did he do that? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 5. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Look at the first part of verse 6. He clave to the Lord. Look at first part of verse 7. And the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. How did he remain on track? Okay, he made a commitment to the Lord. Lord, I'm all in. And this kingdom is all in. And we're completely focused on nothing but honoring you and obeying you and serving you as your chosen people. He made that commitment. But in order to keep that commitment, three things were necessary. He needed to trust the Lord. It ought to be the prayer of every Christian in this new year. Lord, I'm going to trust you more. Don't ever think that your faith is where it needs to be. One of the things that I found out in the last 20 years of ministry is my faith needs to constantly be increasing. Because there's another challenge down the road that's going to require more faith to overcome than the last challenge. And I guarantee you, you will experience the same thing in your life. Second thing he did was he clave to the Lord. You know, I have five daughters, and my younger brother used to tease me. He has four boys. And he used to tease me and say, you know, I have all the boys and you have all the girls. And I say, listen, my response was always, I'm the luckiest guy in the world because I have six women in my life who think I'm the greatest man in the world. Amen? That's pretty awesome. I hope they still think that way. Amen? At least till they meet their future husbands. My youngest daughter, Sadie, she's 4 years old. You saw her in the video tonight. She's a daddy's girl. And along the way, all these girls have been daddy's girls. But she's, right now, she's daddy's girl. And every time I go somewhere, I mean, she's grabbing onto my leg, begging to go with me. Have you parents ever been in that situation before? You're trying to leave the house. You got some business to do. And you really, really can't take your kids with you. But I mean, they're begging. They're hanging on tight. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, I need to be a strong parent here. I need to say no. And next thing you know, she gives you those little puppy dog eyes. And you're giving in and saying, okay, you can come with me, sweetheart. And she wins. And then you feel horrible because you gave in. Amen? But I want you to picture a little child cleaving on to their parent, mother or father, not wanting to let go. That's how intimate our relationship with Jesus Christ must always be. That close. I'm not going to let go. I'm going to hold on. Someone may try to pull me away, but I'm going to hang on tight. I'm going to cleave to the Lord. That's how intimate our relationship must be with the Lord. I believe Hezekiah was that intimate in his relationship with God. And that's why God blessed and used him the way he did. Which leads quickly to verse number 7. And the Bible says, and the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And I can't think of three greater things that I would want anyone to say about me if I go home to be with the Lord before the Lord's return. He trusted the Lord, he clave to the Lord, and the Lord was with him. We need the Lord tonight, don't we? More than we've ever needed him. And the reality is, and this is beyond our comprehension to even begin to understand, but the Lord equally is counting on us to do his work. And if we fail, sadly, the work of God is not fully accomplished. While we cannot control what others do and how others live, I'm thankful that I can control how I live. And you can control how you live. You and I can control our level of surrender and our level of commitment. By the grace of God, and through his enabling, through his empowering, we can be used by God to have a tremendous impact to bring many to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may say, Brother Deku, I come from a divided home that didn't stop Hezekiah. You may say, Brother Deku, you don't understand my upbringing, my background, my current situation. I may not understand it, but I know a God who certainly does and will enable you to overcome. Brother Deku, you don't understand the culture of our church and the way things are. I understand all of it because I'm not a member of this church, but I do know God has one desire, and that is that everybody get involved. Everybody be a servant for God. And thirdly and lastly tonight, as I close, God has a desire for every one of us to keep our hearts clean so that all of our loyalty is devoted only to him. I want to be that kind of Christian, don't you? I want to hear the Lord Jesus say, my child, you weren't perfect, but you yielded yourself to me, and I was able to use you to do exceedingly abundantly above you what you could ever ask or think, not for your honor and glory, but for mine. May God be praised. Would you bow with me in prayer tonight? Pastor, would you come, please?
Our eyes are closed. You've heard a solid Bible message tonight, and we're thinking about this. You know, as he was preaching, I was thinking here towards the end of the service that God has made life in such a way that if nobody else gets it, nobody else does it, it doesn't mean I can't. Aren't you glad it's that way? That you can make the conscious decision that you are going to do right. As they begin to play through softly, I wonder tonight, what has God spoken you about? Maybe you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe you've never had a time where you've asked the Lord to come into your heart, forgive your sin, and take you to heaven. If that's the case, if you'll come, let us take a Bible. Lady with a lady, a man with a man, we'll point you to Jesus Christ. And tonight, if you're a child of God, three things that he preached on. Just remember to obey. Remove sin. And remain faithful by trusting the Lord, cleaving unto him, begging him for his power and presence in your life. These are life-changing thoughts, no doubt about it. We give God praise for it. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing momentarily. Here's what I think the invitation should be. Lord, I want to be the one. I want to be the one that wants to dedicate my life fresh and new. And Lord, if nobody else obeys, I will obey. God helping me. If nobody else trusts, I want to trust. If nobody else cleaves, I want to cleave. Hey, if you wouldn't mind to look here just a moment. One illustration that really spoke to me was just the picture of the child hanging on to his leg. That spoke to me tonight. Am I hanging on to the Lord? Am I really cleaving to Jesus? You know as well as I do, he said it right. There's so many things that pull on us, amen or not. So many things that try to pull us away from the Lord. Why don't many of us just say, Lord, help me hold on to you like I never have. Help me cleave to the Lord. That's a great thing, a great thought, no doubt about it. I hope in your heart you're saying, I want to be like that. I want to be a Christian like that. I know I do. Amen. Amen. I hope you do. So with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, Father, take it and use it, please. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. Why don't you get out of your seat? Why don't you come? Why don't you say, God, make me one like Hezekiah. Make me like a Hezekiah. Come on. As he sings, would you come now, please? If God's in it, come on.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
They're playing through softly. I like it when children respond. That's a precious thing, isn't it? And maybe there's another child. We'll sing one more verse. If nobody else comes, we'll be done. Maybe there's another child that God is speaking to your heart. I want the children to know that any time they want to come forward in a service, they are welcome to come forward. That is precious in the eyes of God. What about a teenager? What about it? Have you really given your life to God? Mom, Dad, what about it? I'm telling you, solid, solid Bible message tonight. Just the Word of God speaking. And God's used His Word tonight. Let's sing one more verse. Nobody else comes, we'll be done, okay?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Let me go ahead and dismiss the Deku family. If you wouldn't mind to go out to your table, I'm sure our folks will want to meet you and greet you. Remind you about the teen parent meeting. Let me go ahead and dismiss all teenagers and parents at this time, if you wouldn't mind. I'll give you a little bit of a head start so you can get downstairs. That'll be good. Folks, aren't you glad the Faith Promise Mission Support is going to families like that right there? No doubt about it. And I want to encourage you, go by their table. Shake their hand. Ladies, hug on his wife back there. And just say thank you for being faithful missionaries. Hey, they need encouragement, no doubt about it. They've encouraged us tonight. We give them praise. It's been good to be in the house of God, I'm telling you. Praise the Lord for it. Brother Steve McNeely, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer tonight, sir, please. You go right ahead.